Chapter 36. Andres had challenged at the government position. That is, he had lain down where the ground fell sharply away below the triple belt of wire and shouted up at the rock and earth parapet. There was no continual defensive line, and he could easily have passed this position in the dark and made his way farther into the government territory before running into someone who would challenge him. But it seemed safer and simpler to get it over here.
"Salud!" he had shouted. "Salud, milicianos!"
He heard a bolt snick as it was pulled back. Then, from farther down the parapet, a rifle fired. There was a crashing crack and a downward stab of yellow in the dark. Andres had flattened at the click, the top of his head hard against the ground.
"Don't shoot, comrades!" Andres shouted. "Don't shoot! I want to come in!" "How many are you?"
someone called from behind the parapet.
"One! Me, alone!" "Who are you?" "Andres Lopez of Villaconejos, from the band of Pablo, with a message." "Have you your rifle and equipment?"
"Yes, man."
"We can take in none without rifle and equipment," the voice said. "Nor in larger groups than three."
"I am alone," Andres shouted. "It is important. Let me come in."
He could hear them talking behind the parapet, but not what they were saying. Then the voice shouted again.
"How many are you?"
"One. Me, alone, for the love of God."
They were talking behind the parapet again. Then the voice came.
"Listen, fascist."
"I am not a fascist," Andres shouted. "I am a guerrillero from the band of Pablo. I come with a message for the general staff."
"He's crazy,"
he heard someone say.
"Toss a bomb at him." "Listen," Andres said. "I am alone. I am completely by myself. I obscenity in the midst of the holy mysteries that I am alone. Let me come in."
"He speaks like a Christian," he heard someone say, and laugh.
Then someone else said,
"The best thing is to toss a bomb down on him."
"No," Andres shouted. "That would be a great mistake. This is important. Let me come in."
It was for this reason that he had never enjoyed trips back and forth between the lines. Sometimes it was better than others, but it was never good.
"You are alone?"
the voice called down again.
"Me cago en la leche," Andres shouted. "How many times must I tell thee? I am alone."
"Then if you should be alone, stand up and hold thy rifle over thy head."
Andres stood up and put the carbine above his head, holding it in both hands.
"Now come through the wire. We have thee covered with the máquina," the voice called.
Andres was in the first zigzag belt of wire.
"I need my hands to get through the wire," he shouted.
"Keep them up," the voice commanded.
"I am held fast by the wire," Andres called.
"It would have been simpler to have thrown a bomb at him," a voice said.
"Let him sling his rifle," another voice said. "He cannot come through there with his hands above his head. Use a little reason."
"All these fascists are the same," the other voice said. "They demand one condition after another."
"Listen," Andres shouted. "I am no fascist, but a guerrillero from the band of Pablo. We've killed more fascists than the typhus."
"I have never heard of the band of Pablo,"
the man who was evidently in command of the post said.
"Neither of Peter, nor of Paul, nor of any of the other saints nor apostles, nor of their bands. Sling thy rifle over thy shoulder, and use thy hands to come through the wire."
"Before we loose the máquina on thee," another shouted.
"Que poco amable sois,"
Andres said.
"You're not very amiable."
He was working his way through the wire.
"Amables," someone shouted at him. "We are in a war, man."
"It begins to appear so," Andres said.
"What's he say?"
Andres heard a bolt click again.
"Nothing," he shouted. "I say nothing. Do not shoot until I get through this fornicating wire."
"Don't speak badly of our wire," someone shouted, "or we'll toss a bomb on you."
"Quiero decir que buena alambrada," Andres shouted. "What beautiful wire! God in a latrine, what lovely wire! Soon I will be with thee, brothers."
"Throw a bomb at him,"
he heard the one voice say.
"I tell you, that's the soundest way to deal with the whole thing."
"Brothers," Andres said.
He was wet through with sweat, and he knew the bomb advocate was perfectly capable of tossing a grenade at any moment.
"I have no importance."
"I believe it,"
the bomb man said.
"You are right,"
Andres said. He was working carefully through the third belt of wire, and he was very close to the parapet.
"I have no importance of any kind, but the affair is serious. Muy, muy serio."
"There is no more serious thing than liberty,"
the bomb man shouted.
"Thou thinkest there is anything more serious than liberty?"
he asked challengingly.
No man,
Andre said, relieved. He knew now he was up against the crazies, the ones with the black and red scarves.
Viva la libertad! Viva la FAI! Viva la CNT!
They shouted back at him from the parapet.
Viva el narco-sindicalismo and liberty! Viva nosotros!
Andre shouted.
Long life to us!
He is a co-religionary of ours, the bomb man said,
and I might have killed him with this.
He looked at the grenade in his hand and was deeply moved as Andres climbed over the parapet. Putting his arms around him, the grenade still in one hand, so that it rested against Andres' shoulder blade as he embraced him, the bomb man kissed him on both cheeks.
I am content that nothing happened to thee, brother, he said. I am very content.
Where is thy officer? Andres asked.
I command here, a man said. Let me see thy papers.
He took them into a dugout and looked at them with the light of a candle. There was the little square of folded silk with the colors of the Republic and the seal of the SIM in the center. There was the salvo conducto, or safe conduct pass, giving his name, age, height, birthplace, and mission that Robert Jordan had written out on a sheet from his notebook and sealed with the SIM rubber stamp. And there were the four folded sheets of the dispatch to Goltz, which were tied around with a cord and sealed with wax, and the impression of the metal SIM seal that was set in the top end of the wooden handle of the rubber stamp.
This I have seen, the man in command of the post said, and handed back the piece of silk. This you all have, I know, but its possession proves nothing without this.
He lifted the salvo conducto and read it through again.
Where were you born?
Via Conejos, Andre said.
And what do they raise there?
Melons, Andre said, as all the world knows.
Who do you know there?
Why, are you from there?
Nay, but I have been there. I am from Aranjuez.
Ask me about anyone.
Describe Jose Rincon.
Who keeps the bodega?
Naturally.
With a shaved head and a big belly and a cast in one eye.
Then this is valid, the man said, and handed him back the paper. But what do you do on their side?
Our father had installed himself at Via Castine before the movement, Andre said, down there beyond the mountains on the plain. It was there we were surprised by the movement. Since the movement I have fought with the band of Pablo, but I am in a great hurry, man, to take that dispatch.
How goes it in the country of the fascists? The man commanding asked. He was in no hurry.
Today we had much tomate, Andre said proudly. Today there was plenty of dust on the road all day. Today they wiped out the band of Sordo.
And who is Sordo? The other asked deprecatingly.
The leader of one of the best bands in the mountains.
All of you should come into the Republic and join the army, the officer said. There is too much of this silly guerrilla nonsense going on. All of you should come in and submit to our libertarian discipline. Then when we wish to send out guerrillas, we would send them out as they are needed.
Andres was a man endowed with almost supreme patience. He had taken the coming in through the wire calmly. None of this examination had flustered him. He found it perfectly normal that this man should have no understanding of them, nor of what they were doing, and that he should talk idiocy was to be expected. That it should all go slowly should be expected, too. But now he wished to go.
Listen, compadre, he said. It is very possible that you are right, but I have orders to deliver that dispatch to the general commanding the 35th Division, which makes an attack at daylight in these hills, and it is already late at night, and I must go.
What attack? What do you know of an attack?
Nay, I know nothing, but I must go now to Navacerrada and go on from there. Wilt thou send me to thy commander who will give me transport to go on from there? Send one with me now to respond to him that there be no delay.
I distrust all of this greatly, he said. It might have been better to have shot thee as thou approached the wire.
You have seen my papers, comrade, and I have explained my mission, Andres told him patiently.
The papers can be forged, the officer said. Any fascist could invent such a mission. I will go with thee myself to the commander.
Good, Andres said, that you should come, but that we should go quickly.
Thou, Sanchez, thou commandest in my place, the officer said. Thou knowest thy duties as well as I do. I take this so-called comrade to the commander.
They started down the shallow trench behind the crest of the hill, and in the dark Andres smelt the foulness the defenders of the hill crest had made all through the bracken on that slope. He did not like these people who were like dangerous children, dirty, foul, undisciplined, kind, loving, silly, and ignorant, but always dangerous because they were armed. He, Andres, was without politics, except that he was for the Republic. He had heard these people talk many times, and he thought what they said was often beautiful and fine to hear. But he did not like them. It is not liberty not to bury the mess one makes, he thought. No animal has more liberty than the cat, but it buries the mess it makes. The cat is the best anarchist. Until they learn that from the cat, I cannot respect them. Ahead of him, the officer stopped suddenly.
You have your carabine still? He said.
Yes, André said. Why not?
Give it to me, the officer said. You could shoot me in the back with it.
Why? Andres asked him. Why would I shoot thee in the back?
One never knows, the officer said. I trust no one. Give me the carbine.
Andres unslung it and handed it to him.
If it pleases thee to carry it, he said. It is better, the officer said. We are safer that way.
They went on down the hill in the dark.